Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
In a region where pipelines are a political and practical, and where energy infrastructure can become a target overnight, the intersection of war and energy security is no small matter. We've seen that in the tensions between Israel and Iran, and the ripple effect that was felt far beyond the battlefield. Joining me to unpack this complex equation is Dr. Amit Mor. He is the CEO of Eco Energy Financial and Strategic Consulting and a senior lecturer at Rahman University in Herzliya. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us again. The impact of the state of energy and energy infrastructure by a war like the one we saw with Iran and Israel cannot be underestimated. Take us through that.
Yes, good morning, Howard. Indeed, you're absolutely right. And during all this war, once we sat in the shelters here in Israel, but also our military and policymakers, we felt it immediately. The first, second day of the war, Iranian missiles hit the largest oil refinery in Israel, in Bazan, Haifa, mm-hmm. Haifa Bay, mm-hmm. and paralyzed it. They destroyed, they hit the power station there. Three of our colleagues were killed, and not so much damage to the various facilities of the refinery itself, but it will take 6 months to repair. Mm-hmm. So the largest refinery is paralyzed for now. We'll start producing gradually products to the markets. At the same time, no distillates cargoes or ships, tankers could reach Israel. That is gasoline, mm-hmm. diesel, jet mm-hmm. fuel that the refinery is producing. Could reach Israel at the time because of embargo, because the ship companies were afraid or did not want to jeopardize the crews and so on and so forth in the wartime. And the second refinery in Ashdod, southern part of Israel on the Mediterranean, was also paralyzed in a way because of the war in Gaza. Ashdod got many, many missiles from Hamas and so on and so forth. So in fact, that if we're just talking about the petroleum, gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, what we call LPG, that is cooking gas and so on and so forth, Israel, those 12 days, was based on the storage. That is the operational and strategic storage of products. And I must tell you, the war would continue another week or 2 weeks. We would be in a situation in which the planes would not have jet fuel kerosene to fly to Iran. And people would be, standing in lines with their cars to fill their cars with gasoline and diesel. So what are the lessons? Okay, so this is one issue. The second issue, a major issue, second issue is that when the war began, 3 a.m. Israel time on the 13th of June, mm-hmm. Immediately the Ministry of Defense ordered Chevron and Energean, the two companies which are operating gas platforms offshore Israel, to stop production immediately. And this is two of the three platforms are producing gas to Israel. Why? To protect the people who are working on the tens of people who are working on those platforms offshore, to bring them on shore. And also to protect the platforms, which cost billions of dollars, because in times, if a missile hits a platform which is treating gas, treating the gas while in operation, the damage might be much, much larger than if it is idle. So for this reason, so what's the meaning of that? 70% of the electricity in Israel is based on natural gas. And the only platform, the Tamar platform, which is southern, more southern one, the platform is about 20 kilometers offshore Ashkelon or Gaza,
right.
To this day, continue to supply gas to the market, but it did not have the capacity to supply all the needs of the market. So what happened? All immediately, in one minute, all the gas which is exported from Leviathan, especially to Jordan and to Egypt, stopped flowing. What does it mean? It means that Jordan is also basing 70% of its electricity on importation of gas from Leviathan. So I was following every day what is, in those 12 days, what is the status of electricity shortcuts in Amman, Irbid, Zarqa, and other cities in Jordan. And gradually, very, very quickly, because they don't have alternatives, only 30% renewable energy, which don't, the sun is not right. shining at night.
Right.
The backup of diesel that they have was limited. So basically, my message to the government that listen, it might be a case that in a week time, 2 weeks time, if the war continues, Israel would need to do what we call demand side management to make electricity shortcuts or in various neighborhoods, three, 4 hours,
yeah,
to supply
to Jordan.
Yeah, I know, to Jordan, because otherwise, if they don't have another, they're running out of electricity, in a few days' time, 1 million, 2 million Jordanians, most of them Palestinians, would surround the palace of King Abdullah, Hashemite King, in Amman. And in my view, in such a scenario, the Hashemite regime would collapse and Hamas will take over there. So basically, same in Egypt, because there are 15% of the gas in Egypt is imported from Israel. And same time, many hours of power cuts in Cairo were evident once Israel cut the flow of gas to Egypt. What does it mean? Once it means that with such a meaningful energy dependency and supply of Israel to those nations comes responsibility. It means that Israel, in many respects, is managing the electricity on energy sector, not only of Israel, but also of Jordan, and in large degree also of Egypt, which means that it's not just an energy transfer impulse. It is strategic national security issue of Israel, of Egypt, and of Jordan. And in this respect, thank you, Mr. Trump, that turning our Israeli IDF airplanes from Tehran that day, the 25th of June, I believe it was, because otherwise another week or 2 weeks of this war,
wow.
You know, Israel so, in,
yeah, well, the whole region,
in
you're saying.
Situation. The whole region. So
right.
Basically, this is just one example of the interdependency, the linkages between energy supply, in this case, gas, natural gas,
right.
And geopolitics and economics and national security of the regimes.
Should Israel have done more, or is there much more that Israel could do to protect these facilities?
Yeah, of course. So Israel did its best. So it is not a secret that the Iranian launched tens of rockets and unmanned aircraft to hit the platforms, other strategic, of course, the bases in Israel, Central Command, and many other strategic locations, power stations, and so on and so forth. 87% of the missiles were intercepted. But again, 13% of 500, which was about 40, 50 or more missiles hit. There is no absolute protection. And those, if you are talking on the gas platforms, there are various protections, not only the Iron Dome and so on, and various aero missiles and other missiles and other issues that we cannot discuss here publicly, and so on and so forth. But this is one issue, to protect them. Secondly, what should be done? What are the lessons learned? Redundancy, redundancy, redundancy. It means keep large strategic reserves of all those products, gasoline, diesel, jet fuel. And this is not only true for Israel, but also for Jordan and Egypt. And the most important thing is diversify to renewable energies. That is, in Israel, it's mostly solar energy. In the region, it's also solar and wind. As much renewable energy you have diversified all around the country, even if one power, a solar power plant is damaged. So this is renewable. This is you have storage also with batteries now being installed. So renewable
that
energy
is the way,
plus
is the way
storage
forward.
Provides national security. And that's a very, very important lesson to learn.
We do need to leave it there. Just before I let you go, apparently you are having a webinar on this conversation, on this.
Yes.
Tell us about it
quickly. In 2 hours, yeah, indeed.
Right.
The webinar, you know, follow a webinar that we conducted here in Israel in the midst of the war. You know, 300,000 people from today to tomorrow. So say, why not conducting such an international webinar?
Right.
Which the idea came aboard about a week ago, and very quickly to today, in the that is in 10 a.m. Israel time, and also again at 5 p.m. Israel time, are going to be international webinars. So already we have hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world registered, also from South Africa, and thank you, the station, for publishing that. And we are going to discuss what I just discussed, and much, much more. Also, what was the effect on Iran, and what should Iran learn, and what should the Persian Gulf learn,
from
and what
this.
Should the
right.
world learn from all those.
Dr. Ahmed Moore, I do need to end it there because we are way over time. But thank you for that, and anyone interested in that, please check out the website.